Alrighty. But before we get into the where we left off, I just want to review a couple of things. Basically, just a couple of questions. Like some of the things we were looking at in last class, what does prayer show us? And what I mean by that is when the psalmist was praying, the pouring out of the heart and things such as that, crying out, what does that imply to us? What does that show us about prayer and those who pray, at least in this example?
Our need for God.
I'm sorry?
Our need for God.
Our need for God. Okay, but so if they're doing that, then they trust and believe that He hears. And we have good reason to trust that He hears, don't we? We've looked at some examples, and there's other examples, but we do know and understand that He does hear us and expects us to pray. So if we do truly trust in this, you know, if we say that He hears us, then what should we be doing? What should that cause us to do?
Go to Him.
Okay, so we should be using this avenue. Okay. So just something for us to think about. If we're not praying very much, do you think that has a reflection of maybe our belief or trust in this? The reason I say that is because when we're praying, we are speaking to God, and He is our Creator. And you know, we should want to take advantage of that opportunity if we truly think about what this opportunity is. This is opportunity to speak to deity. I mean, in comparison to Him, we're nothing. Yet He's provided a way for us to speak to Him. So we should want to do that. So if we're not, then maybe that reflects our trust in that. That's just something to think about. So we truly need to pray. Yes, sir.
Well, it's just like our communication. If we don't communicate something to somebody, they don't know what we need. You know, same with God. He's not going to know what we need, and He expects us to communicate. We're told to pray without ceasing. You know? There's a reason for that.
Right. Well, He does know what we need before
well,
we ask.
True.
But
He chooses to.
Right.
But He expects us
yes.
to communicate.
Because by communicating, that shows something.
That's the reverence we have towards Him, the love and the devotion we have towards Him. You know?
Right. Yeah. Any comments or thoughts?
Okay. Well, it's also a comfort to us.
Well, yeah.
I mean, when even you know when something is going on in our life, as I know, speaking from a woman's point of view, women like to talk out their feelings, and even if
and guys don't.
No, guys don't. And so, knowing that. I can, even if nobody else is in the room, I can talk out my feelings, my wishes, my wants, my hurts to God. That is a comfort, knowing that He's there to listen.
Well, that's true. And there's different reasons we use for prayer. And we're going to look at some more of those a little bit later on, the different types of prayer. Because we should always be thankful. And then, you know, we can go to Him with our concerns. There's many things that we're going to look at about that. Yes, sir.
Craig, it's kind of funny when we were talking about just a few minutes ago that God knows what we need. So if I should be praying, you know. And I think there's an aspect from God's perspective He wants us to be reliant on Him, to trust on Him. Yeah, He knows our needs, but He still wants us to ask. Well, why?
Right.
So that we rely who He is, who we are, and reliance on Him.
Yes, sir. Are there any other thoughts on that? Any other comments? Alrighty, we're on, what page number is that on y'all's?
16? I have 16.
Okay. We're on page 16. at the very top of the page. That's where we left off. Excuse me. One thing we were discussing right before this was this idea of, prayer not being a formula that is memorized. Talking about how some, use prayer that you have to recite it. But if we look, let's look at Matthew 6, 9 through 13. Next, I'm not even going to read the whole thing because a little further in our lesson, we're going to look more specifically at each verse in here. But my point is that when we look at this, you can see in starting in verse 9 where Jesus speaking says, pray then in this way. This is an example that Jesus uses to teach on how to pray. He wasn't saying that you necessarily... He didn't say recite this or say this word for word. He's trying to give an example of how to pray. In Roman numeral 3, are there any questions on that? Because we'll get more detail a little bit further down in this lesson on that. Now, Roman numeral 3. People who trust in His love will be devoted to prayer. Romans 12:12. You don't have to turn there. You can if you'd like. But it's basically my point is we should be a people devoted to prayer. Now in 1 Thessalonians... And 1 Thessalonians 5:18, the second half of that verse, what is it telling us?
Second half
or
the first half?
Second half of the verse. Oh. And the question's probably not very clear, but what I was looking for is that this is God's will for us in Christ. And when you back up to verse 17, some of these things that was being mentioned, one of them is to pray without ceasing. So, what does this tell us? What does this mean? Okay, so it has something to do with our attitude towards prayer. Okay, and we should always pray. When you think about God's Word, it is important to remember His wisdom. He has shown us a way of life that will help us live life at its best. And what I mean is that all that He teaches on His Word, if we'll do according to what He teaches, then we have potential for a good life. I'm not saying that He's promising health and wealth. That's not my point. But if we do what do things the way He's designed, then He's designed it in the way that's best for us. He's protecting us from the heartache that evil brings. And therefore, if we trust in His knowledge, then we will use prayer because He's designed it for our benefit. Now, in Lesson 4, this is where we're going to actually get into different kinds of prayer. In Colossians 1:6,
I had a question.
Yeah, I think I put the wrong one there.
Can you try Philippians 4:6?
Do what?
Philippians 4:6. Is that the one you were wanting?
Could be. Yes, thank you. I look down at, I've got a page split there. Sorry about that. So everybody, if we'll change that, mark that on your lesson. I got to remember to change it on my thing. That should be Philippians 4:6. I apologize. So Philippians 4:6. That'll make more sense if we read that verse. Where did we go there? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known to God. And like we mentioned, Matthew 6:9-13 as being an example of how Jesus was teaching how to pray. We're going to take a minute and look at these verses and just look at a couple of things in them. Let's go back over to Matthew 6. Matthew 6:9-13. It says, pray then in this way. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So, when we start off in verse 9... Jesus says, pray then in this way. Now, verses 9 and 10, it speaks of how He is set apart and that we should recognize, or we recognize His rule. And when we speak in this way, we're glorifying or we're praising Him. Any comments or thoughts on that before I move to the next verse? Verse 11, basically asking God to provide, or it's a petition. Verse 12, asking for forgiveness, which is a petition, but we also see that this depends on our attitude towards others and our willingness to forgive. And in verse 13, the first part of this is asking for strength, which is another petition. And it ends again with praise. And I just was putting that in there just to give us some examples. We can look at some of these things and see some of the different things we can pray about. Of course, it's not limited to these things. I do not believe that this is teaching that we have to use each part of this time every time we pray. There should be things on our heart. And we should want to speak to our Father in heaven about these things because He does hear us. We should want to praise and give thanks and ask these things of our Father in heaven. But let us remember that it is not limited to the things, like I just said, not limited to these things that we mentioned. And we're going to look at some more things in addition to this that we can pray about. We need to be aware of the different types of prayer. Ephesians 6:10. Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Excuse me. Verse 11, so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Now, verse 11 starts off saying, put on the full armor of God. And if you look down at verse 18, we see one thing listed, with all prayer and petition. So all kinds of prayer. And so what are some of the different kinds of prayer that we can use? The ones we're going to look at are petition, confession, praise, thanksgiving, complaint, and imprecatory. So we're going to start off in A here with petition. And to me, just simply put, this is to ask. Now, let's look over at 1 Samuel and see some things we can learn about this in 1 Samuel. First Samuel 1. We can start in 2. Well, if you look in verse 2, it explains that this man, and I don't know that I'm pronouncing this correctly, but Elkanah had two wives. His wives' name were Peninnah and Hannah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah didn't. When we look at verse 5, it shows that her womb had been closed. Okay? And this was something that really bothered her. We can understand that from the things that we see in verse 8. We see that she was crying and did not want to eat. Her heart was sad. Verse 10 explains that she was greatly distressed. And then when you drop down to verse 15, it shows that she was oppressed in spirit. So, what do these characteristics, I guess you could say, what does this just describe? What would you call what she's going through?
Depression.
Okay, she's depressed. She's going through depression. And when we think about the world that we live in, when we have problems or people of the world in general, when they have problems in general, what do people turn to? What are some of the different things? Okay, people might turn to drugs, alcohol. Okay. Sir?
Well, some of them, I mean, just people have been so depressed they've just made themselves physically sick.
Okay. Okay. So they're physically sick. And so there's different things that they might turn to.
Spend a bunch of money or something.
but the things they're turning to, will this fix their problems?
No.
Okay. So these aren't things that are really going to fix their problems, because you have some people that might have even convinced themselves that the best way to take care of this is suicide. And we know that's not an option either. But the things they turn to, like alcohol, drugs, anything like this is only going to add to the problems. It's not going to fix the problems. But we see something interesting in here. How does Hannah address this problem? She prayed, okay. She prays, and that's one reason we should be thankful to have such an avenue like this.
Verse 15 at the end. I have poured out my soul before the Lord.
Right. So she was praying. She was pouring out her soul. And so we need to be thankful to have such an avenue. We should use this avenue in times such as these. But not limited to these times, of course. Now, we understand that God might not answer in the way that we would like, or not even in the time that we would like, but we know and trust that He has our best interests in mind. So, do we ask it? Yes, sir.
The main thing that He cares about is not only go to the Lord, but at times when you have faced catastrophe, right, or death or something very, very traumatic, you know, God's not blind, you know, you
right.
can see that sort of thing. So
you don't want to be just approaching right. just during yeah. the right. So we need to pray in all different yeah. types of situations.
Something right to point out. We pray without ceasing.
Right.
God wants to hear from us. He wants to hear from us. I need you now. I mean, it's not the back line or whatever. You know, that's not it. God's not going to go there. He's not going to be. Yeah. You know,
it's just not.
God's not going to be locked.
Right.
Look, God. Uh oh. I've got to hit the back.
Not just on 911.
Right. Exactly. And that's as you point out. That's the way you, since the world will do that.
Right.
And they're going to turn to God when they got to have it. And that's it.
Right. They don't even really know about Him. They just right. say, "Oh, well, we better pray now." But yeah. Yes, sir.
We were talking about earlier about that verse, pray without ceasing. You see that here with Hannah. In verse 10, she prayed to the Lord, and then in verse 11, she made the vow. And in verse 12, you know, there is this continual thing, and she kept, it came about as she continued praying for the Lord. So she was a continual thing for her.
Yes, sir.
God didn't answer right away. She made the vow, and she continued praying. She
yes, sir.
You know, to do the same.
Showed her trust that He hears and that He's able to do something. Now, verse 17. How was what words were used for to describe prayer?
Petition.
Okay, petition that she had asked. So petition or asked.
Asking words.
Now there's several other terms that were used in chapter 1 to describe prayer, and now one of them. Ryan already mentioned that verse 15 was poured out my soul before the Lord. What was another one?
Prayed.
Okay, which verse is that?
10. Sorry.
Okay, verse 10. Okay, prayed. Verse 13 says that she was speaking in her heart. Verse 20 says, because I have asked Him of the Lord. 27, the Lord has given me my petition, which I had asked Him. So just some ideas, or this just shows that what she was doing is asking or petitioning in this situation. We saw that Hannah was sad. And we saw what she did in that time of depression. She prayed to God. Did that help her?
Yes, sir.
Okay, sure did. After Hannah made her petition, and it says that her face was no longer sad. We see the effect of prayer that we can have on depression, that how it can have on a depressed spirit. And we also need to note her happiness was before the Lord. You know, this was before the Lord. The way I'm seeing it anyway, if you look at verse 19, this was before that He even remembered her. Okay, before He answered her prayer. She trusted that He can do this. And her happiness was not depending on His answer. At least from what I'm seeing. I'm not saying that that wouldn't have changed if the answer was different. I don't know. But it shows her trust. And that she did trust that the Lord can and is able. And that He hears. Anybody have any comments? Or?
Frank, I think you're right there. I mean, go to verse 17 and 18. You know, Eli's talking there. He says, go in peace. He says, may God grant your petition. She didn't know this was going to actually happen.
Right.
And she said to him, you know, that the maid servant will be found favor in your sight. So she's happy now.
Right.
She doesn't know,
what's happening. Right.
Not yet.
But it shows her trust. And just by going to prayer to God, how this lifted her up. You know, so this is what we need to be turning to. Yes, sir.
And afterwards, in verse 27, she, for this boy I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition, which I asked Him.
Right, so it shows that, right, she recognized that it had been answered.
I think we also need to realize this didn't happen over a short period of time. In verse 7, it says that it happened year after year.
Oh, you mean as far as her depression?
Crying,
right.
Right, and her depression. I mean, this, like, okay, I gave it a year and, you know, this is what happened. No, this was multiple years that she continued to pray and wanted a child.
I think it's also good to notice that of her humility. She was very humble when she addressed God, but yet still asking her needs. She's very humble.
Well, that's a very good point, because we need to, when we're addressing God, we need to recognize who we're addressing and what we are in comparison. That's a real good point. We should always be humble. Are there any other comments? Good comment. In 1 John, John 5:15, and if we know that He hears us, and whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from Him. The reason I put that there is we also can see that prayer is not just for us, but for the benefit of others. There's a lot of things that we can ask for. And what we looked at earlier in Matthew 6:12-13, you can ask for forgiveness, you can ask for strength. There's many different things we can ask for. We might ask for knowledge or guidance. We can ask on behalf of other people. You know, to me, this is one of the greatest things we can do for other people, and that's to pray for them. I mean, especially we know brethren going through something. Maybe we're not in a position to help that need. Maybe it's something that's out of our control, but this is something we can do for them. We can do this for anybody. We can pray on their behalf. We can pray for that situation. And we can pray for other opportunities to help others, you know, that we might have opportunity to help them learn. We might have concern for a friend or whatever because they don't know the truth and different things such as this. we can pray for, well, like I said, for, and it, not necessarily just brethren, we can pray for someone's health, you know, their physical health, but of course, spiritual health. We can pray that someone might be able to overcome things that's going on in their life, and not only them, but we ourselves, we need to pray that we can be able to overcome these things when we're faced with them. Yes, sir.
Pray to God. The First John letter is kind of an interesting letter because there's a bunch of tests in this letter. There's a test of love, a test of faith, and a test of righteousness. And there's three sets of these things. It's interesting, here in chapter 5, verses 1 through 15, talked about test of faith. And this kind of ties to your point at the very beginning of your lesson about prayer, trusting in God. As John was writing this letter, this is a test of faith. How do you know you really have faith? Here's some tests. And this test that we just read here in verse 15 is about prayer. It kind of ties into what we made earlier that, you know, we've got to trust God. Well, how do we know we have faith? Well, if you trust Him in prayer, then He answers your prayers. That knows that you have faith. And so it's kind of interesting, this one verse you pick out here kind of ties into the point we had earlier about trusting in God.
Yes, sir.
Do we have the faith? We trust Him that He hears our prayers and answers our prayer. That tells us we have faith.
Yes, sir. Thank you. And all the things that we can pray for, we can pray for our children. because those of us that have children know we need to do that.
We pray for ourselves
as parents, you know, and there's so many things that we need to pray for, and so many things we should pray for, and in everything we should always be thankful for the blessings we have. But, you know, there's a lot of things we can pray for. What are some ways that we might benefit from this type of prayer? This type of prayer, and what I mean is by petition.
Well, we know that God's going to do what He feels is best for us. So we can ask, and then just, you know, we know that whatever, we have to have the peace. We can also ask for the peace that knowing that whatever His answer is, that we will
let
accept
His will be done. Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, and that's a good point, because when you think about God, everything that we've read about Him, especially when you consider the giving of His Son, it's without question that He's looking out for our best interest. So who else would you want to go to? I mean, He's all knowledgeable. He knows everything. So you want for things to happen in the way that He would like, because He is looking out for your best interest. Yes, sir.
And everything He does for us, and pray to God, there's some petition in the right attitude that keeps you humble.
Yes, sir.
And God, I think that's one thing God stresses.
Humility.
Humility. He will not stand for a proud person. God's just going to have that.
Yes, sir.
Understanding what's up. When we start thinking about me, well, I don't need me.
So we can see here that this has to do with our, like Rocky was pointing out also, this has to do with our trust. We should always pray in times of need, but that should not be the only time. Because to me, and this is just my thoughts, when we're praying only in times of need, that makes it prayer just about us. Okay? Which I know prayer was designed for us, but I have a different meaning in mind when I think of this. Because to me, you know, it's only about us when you're just going in petition. You should go, you should be thankful. There's many things, many different types of prayer. And there are many people out there that only pray in tragedy. That's my point on that. Well, like you were saying earlier, Jim, because that's about the only time. You know, they're not going to pray for, they're not thankful for the food. They probably don't get up and pray when they first get up or go to sleep.
They're not thankful.
Pray before they go to sleep.
Pray when they do have tragedy. I mean,
yeah. So there, we can see that sometimes people pray only in tragedy, not to give thanks or to praise God like they should. Although prayer is designed for our good, and God does not need our prayers, we've seen that. We know He doesn't need our prayers. It's for us, but He does deserve them because He's asked for us to come to Him. We should give Him the praise and thanks and pray in a way that shows our devotion to Him. Yes, sir.
Amen. Asking a question that might benefit. You know, one of the things that comes to my mind, at least from a practical standpoint, maybe, and it ties a little bit with humility, is when you pray, one thing it does, or should do, is draw you closer to God, unless you're like a Pharisee, you know, you stand up and say, well, I don't think I've done it. When you talk to people that are struggling with faith, you ask them, you know, have you been praying? That's one of the first things that goes out the window.
Yeah.
It's very difficult. I mean, you all people here have to do this thing about your own situation. It's very difficult to really go down on your knees before God and pray and still have things in your life that are missed and really be honest about it. If you're going to go to God and pray, the more you do that, the more you're going to look at your own life and say, this is something that needs to be taken care of. I can't go before God continually. And knowing that this is in my life, and basically it's a hypocrite. You're being a hypocrite. God, you can't do that. And God knows better. So it's the kind of thing that if you're regular in prayer, and sincere in prayer, the right attitude in prayer, the things in our lives we're going to want that are missed, we're going to be working on getting straightened up.
Right.
As time goes on. Not to say we're going to be perfect, not to say we're going to fail, we will. One of the things we've talked about in that section. You give peace of mind by going to God and confessing those things. Asking for this. But if you're continuing on in the old ways, God will not be mocked.
Right.
Forget it. So it's a mechanism God has.
Makes us think.
It makes us reflect on ourselves.
Reflect, yeah.
Where I'm standing in this with God, how can we go to God who knows all things and act like everything's hunky dory?
Well, that makes a good point. What if, just take me for instance, what if I'm praying to God, and I'm sincere about it, and I'm praying to God about something that's going on in my son's life, okay? If we truly think about that, we might, if we reflect on it, we might see some of that same error in ourselves. So what are we going to do about it? And I think it does help us if we're honest and really look at these things. Because, good point, I think it does help us reflect on things in our life. Were there any more comments on? Yes, sir.
Craig, related to that, back there in Matthew chapter 6, 9-12, we went back and we were looking at that on as a model prayer. I think there's an overall governing thing on top of that ties to this question that you're making, is that you talk about the specifics, 9-13, but above all that, there's an attitude of hypocrisy here,
right,
in prayer, and really getting back to the attitudes we ought to have. Kind of gets back to your point, Wally's point, that and that's what I think the point that Jesus was making here.
Yeah, that's where he started.
It's just about the hypocrisy all through that. Don't have this hypocrisy attitude. Don't be like the Pharisees. Don't be like the Gentiles do. You need to have the right attitude. And part of the right attitude is, being right with God and getting things right with Him. So that's my comment.
Okay. Thank you. Good comment, right? Any more thoughts on that? Comments? No? All right. Let's go into confession. I wish we got 5 minutes.
5 minutes. Breakfast.
All right. Point B. Confession. The Webster's Universal Dictionary says an admission or acknowledgement of fault or sin. And let's look at 1 John. We'll see this same idea.
1 John what?
I get there.
Okay.
See, I didn't put everything in the list.
So you're supposed to read the whole
I did have some specific verses in mind, but yeah, it'd be good to look at all of that. In 1 John, in 1 John 1, verse 8, says if we say that we have, and I did mean to at least give you all the chapter on there. I messed up on that. But In chapter 1, verse 8, it says, if we say that we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. In verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What else can we learn about confession from this verse? What does this verse tell us about confession? Is it something needed?
It's necessary.
Okay, it's necessary. It's needed in order to be forgiven. Okay. So when we confess, we're also petitioning for forgiveness. Yes.
We don't do it, and we can't be cleansed. We'll be unrighteous.
Right, it's a requirement. Okay. So it's a petition for forgiveness, and we'll see the same idea in some of the other verses that we're going to look at. Let's look at a couple of Psalms to get a better understanding of confession. Now, I put on the lesson to read Psalm 51 and Psalm 32. Now, in the Psalms, does it show that David recognizes his error? Yes. Okay. Please write the verse or verses from the chapters that help explain your answer. Now, in we can look at Psalm. I tell you what. Let's go ahead and just hold right there because this has a little bit to it and I don't want to split it up. We're going to get buzzed here in about 1 to 2 minutes. So we'll start back over here on Psalm 51 on B, confession. Are there any comments or thoughts anybody wanted to share? No? Okay, well, appreciate y'all's comments.